There are several really disparate issues that I wish to talk about. It is, of course, high time that we face the serious halachic questions which a lawyer faces. But I think that it is terribly important that all of us realize the underlying problem that all of us face in our yachas between our profession and our Jewish lives. I remember the first day of law school, one of my professors said that the law was a jealous mistress. And it was, of course, a gross understatement of the problem. In your packet, I see they put in an article that I once wrote in the Jewish Observer. In that article, I made note about a very strange phenomenon. When we ask youngsters, as they're growing up, what do you want to be? We'll get an answer, doctor, lawyer, stockbroker, whatever. It's very strange how language gives us away. We don't ask, what do you want to do? We ask, what do you want to be? And part of our problem as religious lawyers is that it is very scary. We might answer the word lawyer to what we want to be and forget that that's what we do for a living. We tend to identify very, very closely with our profession, and there's good reason for it. Our profession eats us up. It's an Eretz Eicheles Yoshevel. When we work on a brief and we're involved in a very difficult negotiation in a complex, with complex tax and business law problems and corporate problems and security problems, it isn't merely being a technician. Our entire being is called into essence. We meleft in them. And for religious Jews, that's a real problem. I once said, I remember that I had an old Russian Jew who was my Dalvikim Melamed, Olive Bez Melamed. His name was Rivim Lichtig Olav Sholem. Rivim was a very simple and fine Jew. Otnishke Konken Sach Lernen, was raised in Russia at a time of extreme poverty. But if you woke Rivim on Lichtig up in middle of the night and asked him, Rivim, was bist du? He would have answered, Chvinayid. I very often say that I am glad that nobody wakes me in the middle of the night and asks me what I am. I am afraid that I might answer a law professor, and that all of us might answer first and foremost lawyers. We have not only a profession that we practice, but we are involved, belayed, unnefesh, with our egos. We get huge ego gratification out of what we do. It is intellectually and emotionally rewarding, and we pay the price. So that in the process of this Yom HaIyun, we can step back and think for a moment about what it is not only that we do, but what it is that we are, our very essence, and how much our profession has become part of our very essence, I think that would be rewarding. Deure Sorishoinim Osum Teroson Kvar Malachton Aroi Zuvizunis Kayam Verbiyodom Deure Sachreinim was just the opposite, and neither was Niskayim Biyodom. In this issue of the Jewish Observer, there is a Torah from Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zechon Elevrocha. Reb Moshe says that Teirosan Kvar Malachton Aroi does not deal with the time, it deals with the place in one's heart, where one's being, where one's essence is at. And it is at least an important question for us to ask, is our Teirosan Kvar and our Malachton Aroi? The second thing that I would urge that we think about is something that for me at least is very ungewaltig, very painful. We are by and large very good professionals, very bright and very capable. The one thing that our profession is generally very bad at is dealing with clients. We tend to forget how badly our clients need us, how emotionally distraught they are when they come to see us. And that doesn't deal only with clients who have criminal problems or clients who have family law problems. Those two classes of clients are literally off the wall when they come to our offices. I'm talking even about people who come to us with business problems, contract problems, real estate problems. We tend to forget how much afraid and how scared they are. Let me give you a good example. I once turned it on a doctor friend of mine who was my chavrusa, who was called as a defendant or a witness, really, in a malpractice action. He worked for a major hospital. And he described to me how strange and how alienated he felt. He was in a strange theater. Here were lawyers. He didn't know what they wanted from him. He was in a very strange environment. Language was used which he didn't know what it meant. He wasn't sure what was going to follow, what more, if the day followed the evening or the evening followed the day, what was going to take place. And I turned to him and I said, "My dear friend, now you know what we feel like when we walk into a doctor's office. But if you want a good analogy, think, Rachmana Litzlan, if you have ever had a serious illness yourself or a serious illness for a family member, and you've walked into a doctor's office and you're scared out of your wits. That's what your clients feel like. Rabbi, I must spend one-third of every day, or darn close to it, on the phone with lawyers, translating them to their clients. How often do you pick up a phone when the client doesn't have it, when the case is, it's long, it's protracted. pick up a phone and call the client and tell him, I'm thinking of you. It will work out. Something just to keep the guy alive. I'm not talking about not answering telephone calls. I mean, that's stomach-vicious. Yes, you've got the client who's a pagan, though. I have, you know, Baruch Hashem, and I'm not in private practice because I'm doing the translating. You know, I know them all. And if somebody is a pagan, all that means is that that person really is up the wall. Hold a hand. We have the opportunity for chesed. This last week, the person I'm talking about is sitting here in the audience. I called somebody. somebody called me on something, and it was an estate case, and her husband had just died. And she gave me something on the phone. What she told me on the phone didn't make sense. It didn't make any sense. It sounded to be a ripoff. I called one of you, who indeed in 5 minutes discovered that it was a ripoff. You know, it dealt with the person in a kind and with an amon in a kind and a gentle fashion. What kind of schach is there for that? Everything has to translate into billable hours. My feeling is, if you're not prepared to deal with clients in the method of chesed, and to deal with their hurt, and to deal with their anxieties, hang up, put away your shingles, and go and open up a shoe store. But don't deal with people who are hurt, and who are scared, and who cannot deal with the tomorrow, and who cannot deal with their anxieties without giving them the chesed that you want, that has to follow if you're going to be mentioned. Finally, and this is not unrelated to the previous issue, there's a lot of talent in this room, an awful lot. And a lot of talent for people of Chumi and Gelait who are not in this room. We are not serving our community. Plain, flat out, we are not serving our community. Lower and middle income Orthodox Jews do not have where to go with the legal problem. Now, that's true of lower and middle income people across this country. But that is no answer for us. Some of the legal services are doing a good job, but they are so overburdened that they cannot handle what they're doing. And we don't have where to send clients to. I don't have telephone numbers. And when people tell me, a mishpacha that is earning $30,000 or $35,000 or $40,000 can argue with 6 or 7 or 8 children that they've got a legal problem and they don't have where to turn to, where do I send them to? Can't send them to the legal services. What happens? And it's true not only with them, it's true with the poverty cases too, because a lot of the poverty cases I can't send. Last night I had a telephone call from a Yingaman. It's an example. This Yingaman is Mullah Begodish. A gay in Dikil Shas. I have talked to people who had learned with this Yingaman in Eretz Yisrael, who told me he'd regularly, Mishabbos L'Shabbos, he didn't sleep in a bed. He's got a food stamp fear hearing problem.
Who do I send him to? He's right also.
Not to the Soros.
Mishpacha with 10 kids.
Will I get Kals to give him a fair hearing, someone who will present him a fair hearing? I doubt it. I'm going to try tomorrow. I know all the truths, and we don't have time, and it's not my field of expertise, and God knows what. Of a soft kosov, nochalamisis, there's ingalaitu, and families that need legal help, and they haven't got where to turn to. Noch the truths. If every one of us carried 2 pro bono cases,
$250-$300 people signed up for this conference. That's 600 cases at all times.
I didn't ask Rabbi Sher, but I'm going to make a suggestion. I'm going to make a suggestion that we have a pro bono panel, and that everybody be mischai of themselves. Everybody be mischai of themselves to a couple of pro bono cases. We've got to begin dealing directly with the fact that we have people who don't have problem, don't have where to turn to.
In the Parsha Vayigvah Arufa, steht in der Teure, Yodeinu loy shofkus adam azeh veineinu loy ruur. We are held accountable. Potrinu b'loy mezoynes b'li levia. In plain English, we left them off vasar alein. And if you leave people alone, and leave them alone, and leave them in their loneliness, and they have not where to turn to, then the Torah tells us that the worst things are all to happen. We are responsible for that loneliness. It's true with regard to individual clients, and it's true with regard to Klal. We need help in various organizations, whether it's COPA or COCA, our commission. We need troops, and look at yourselves out there. We have the talent, we have the wherewithal. It's going to take some sacrifice, obviously so. And everybody is fundamental, and everybody has worked till over their head. Nonetheless, the Torah was mischai of ourselves, was mischai of us, not to let people who are forlorn off in Basar Alein. I'll close with a very personal maisa that I had heard from my father, Zechen Levracha, who heard it from my grandfather, who told it about his father, Motolana Stipula. Motolana Stipula was a Goan Adar, and he was a tzaddik in Baal Moifes of enormous proportions. The Stipula, Zechen Levracha, used to talk. He was raised in the city, was raised in Hona Stipula, and used to talk much about him. My grandfather told that when he was in his late 50s, when Motolana Stipula was in his late 50s, he started suffering. He had a bad heart, and he started suffering from hiccups, which put a very bad strain on the heart. The local doctors in his immediate area didn't know what to do, how to resolve the problem, so they sent him to Kiev to a professor. And at that time, the medical profession, this was close to 100 years ago, was quite unsophisticated, and the way they dealt with this problem of hiccups was to provide a shock to the system. And what they would do would put a hot metal rod down on the spine, and that was supposed to provide shock if it didn't kill the patient. But Motolana Stipula was a diminutive, very small person.
And the doctor heated up the metal rod and the zeolite to the shadra, put it down on the spine. And he didn't move. So the doctor thought that he hadn't touched him. But he looked at the back, and there was a red stripe on the back. So he heated it again. And he put it on again. And again he didn't move. The doctor took the rod, threw it on the ground, and exclaimed, called out, and he said, you know, there was the gabba who was standing there, and the motva didn't understand Russian. he wasn't bilingual. He had not accomplished synthesis yet. And he said, tell your Rebbe, he's there, he's not a mensch, he's a malach. He says, the Rushashika Tzapis, he said, before I ever do this to them, before I barely touch them, they're jumping through the window. And here I've laid this metal rod on his spine twice and he hasn't moved. So Mutla turned to the Gabizukta, Vozukta. So he says, that he's an angel, that when he does this to the Rushi Katsapis, they jump, they're jumping through the window, and here he's done this twice. The Motla turned to him, he said, Zog dem Shoite, as when Ayid kim semir metakvitl, and ich kann ihm nicht helfen, in ich spring demels nicht durch ein Fenster, will ich jetzt euch nicht springen. I'll translate. He says, tell the fool that if a Jew comes to me with a kvittel, with a request, I should be mispowel to help them. And I cannot help him. And if I don't jump through the window then, I won't jump now. We have to remember that we are in the business, whenever we touch Achenu B'nai Yisrael, of not only dealing with their problem, but feeling their pain. We have to be willing to see their pain, and that means we have to see the cases and handle them. And we have to feel their pain and deal with them in a way which reflects the fact that we are true goyim lechasodim. Sof go sof tziyon b'mishpati podeh b'shaveh b'tzdokah. Let the Rebbeinu Shalom help us that through the practice of our profession with chesed and rachmim, we will be zeicher to bring the goyim tzedek b'mehera b'yameinu.